here with Daniel Markey, Senior Fellow for India, Pakistan, and South Asia at the Council on Foreign Relations. Daniel, welcome to Wide Angle.
Thank you.
So let's start with what's been happening in Pakistan recently. The Supreme Court disqualified opposition leader Nawaz Sharif from running for parliament. Why was he disqualified? Is this a political move?
Whether it's political or not, it's being widely perceived in Pakistan to have been political. It's being understood by almost everyone in the country as a move by the current president, Asif Zardari, to disqualify his chief rival for power. And more than that, not only did this ruling disqualify Nawaz Sharif, but it disqualified his brother, Shahbaz Sharif, who's currently the chief minister in Punjab province. And in the aftermath of that, Asif Zardari asserted control over that province by declaring governor's rule, which essentially gives him a free hand to run the province for the next 2 months. So this was widely seen as a power play, whether it was for good reason or not.
In fact, the judges that handed down this decision are left over from Musharraf, is that correct?
That's right. The Chief Justice who's now in place, who essentially allowed this decision to go forward, is someone who came out of the Musharraf years, and someone who, among other things, ratified a decision that would essentially indemnify Asif Zardari from any prior wrongdoing, which allows him to serve as president, but which apparently didn't do the same thing for Nawaz Sharif.
Well, what does this mean for the upcoming elections? Should we be expecting violence?
Well, we're already seeing violence. The streets in Pakistan over the past several days have already become violent, and there are a number of protests, burning tires, a number of arrests, police charges, tear gas, and so on. It reminds us all of last year's events prior to the elections of February 2008. The difference between the upcoming elections scheduled for early March and the previous elections is that these are indirect elections. These are Senate elections. So this doesn't require the voters to come out en masse. This is done indirectly by the provincial assemblies. So this is much more of a negotiated process by the parties in power already. What I think we should anticipate, though, is that this process is already being derailed by Nawaz Sharif and his party. He has declared that he would like his supporters to come out and support him in the streets to essentially, if you believe what they're saying in the streets, to get rid of Zardari.
Give me a sense of how important the elections in March will be for Pakistan. You mentioned that it wouldn't be a case of the voters coming out themselves, but more of a negotiation. Are the stakes still high?
The stakes are high because all of this is turning into a major power play. There are essentially three ways that this could turn out. The one is that President Asif Zardari and the Pakistan People's Party, or his version of it after the death of his wife, Benazir Bhutto, last year, will consolidate power, will take over the Senate, and then will have ownership over the two assemblies, the Senate and the National Assembly, as well as the presidency, and will essentially be able to have a free hand in the way that it governs the country. So that's one direction it could take. Another, of course, would be that Nawaz Sharif's party launches a successful move in the streets, and possibly also works to try to split the ruling coalition in the assembly and to catapult itself and Nawaz Sharif himself to a position of power and knock Zardari out. And the third unfortunate possibility is that with street protests and widespread violence, the army might decide that enough is enough and reassert itself and its role in politics and sideline one or both of these civilian politicians.
In general, is Pakistan trending more towards a democratic society, or are we still on the same track it's been for the last 25 years?
That's a tough question. I mean, the Pakistani democracy is something that has always been a work in progress. It has a number of things going for it, including a remarkable resilience among the vast majority of Pakistanis who claim to and appear to want to see their country be democratic. It's an aspiration that is widely shared. So whenever you see the military take control of Pakistan, it itself typically has to make promises to restore democracy. It's not an acceptable thing to veer away from democracy entirely. Many Pakistanis, for instance, when they look to their neighbors, to India, to Afghanistan, they see democracy there. They see no reason why it shouldn't be very much a part of the way Pakistan is governed. At the same time, Pakistan's democratic institutions have never been able to live up to that aspiration. more than that, have often been deeply flawed, and its experiments with democracy have often ended with a lot of violence, a lot of corruption, and not particularly effective delivery of services or even basic security to the people of the country. So the aspiration is there, the goal is there. There are many Pakistanis who self-identify as Democrats and would like to see it work, but the institutions unfortunately haven't been there for a whole host of reasons, including the power of feudal elites, the influence of the military, the relative lack of capacity of many Pakistanis to really participate in democratic politics simply because they're not well educated, or, you know, there are many things that keep Pakistan from being a very effective democracy.
Daniel Markey, author of Securing Pakistan's Tribal Belt, the Council on Foreign Relations Special Report on Pakistan's Tribal Areas. Thanks so much for joining us here on Wide Angle.
Thank you.